The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning. All right. I'm thinking about this afternoon. I think I might go for a walk. All right. And so I put some things in my backpack so I can go on for a walk, but it sure is heavy. Somebody want to lift it? Try lifting that up. No, just lift the whole thing up. Is it heavy? You want to carry that with you?
No.
Here, somebody else want to try? Is it heavy? It's heavy, isn't it? I don't want to carry that on my walk. Would you want to carry that on your walk? No. Let's see what's in here. Maybe we can get rid of some of this stuff, you think? All right, let's see what we can find. Got a hat. Should I take a hat on with me for a walk? Yeah, that would be good. You know, if it rains, it'll keep the rain off my face. And if the sun is shining, it'll keep it from burning my bald head. All right, so maybe we need to keep the hat. All right, let's see what else I got. Oh, I got some movies. They're Christmas movies. You think I ought to take those with me on my walk?
No.
But what if I want to watch a movie when I'm walking?
You don't even have a TV.
I don't have a TV. No, so those wouldn't be good to bring, would they? All right, well, let's leave the movies here then. Let's see what else we got. I know. How about a pot? No. What if I want to cook something when I'm walking?
Only if you're going to camp.
Oh, I'm not going to camp. I'm just going to go for a walk. So you think I ought to leave this here or take it with me?
Leave it here?
All right, we'll leave it here. All right, let's see what else we got. I think I got some stuff in here too. How about some sunglasses? Should I take sunglasses along? You think that'd be good on that walk? Yeah, if the sun's out, that sure helps my eyes a little bit. All right, so we'll keep the sunglasses. Let's see what else I got. How about a spatula?
No.
No, don't need that on a walk?
Mm-mm. No.
But what if I find some hamburgers and I need to turn them over? Is that going to work?
No.
No, I don't think I'll probably find any hamburgers along the way. All right, let's see what else I can find in here. All right, here's something else. How about some bug spray?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a definite yes. I better take the bug spray along with me. With all this rain, we're liable to have some mosquitoes. Let's see what else. Oh, I got a hammer. Should I carry my hammer with me?
That's why it was heavy.
That's why it's heavy? Well, I think all this other stuff made it heavy too. Yeah. But what if I need some? What if I find some nails that need to be nailed in? Huh? Should I take it or not?
No.
Nah, I think we'll leave it here. That's awfully heavy. That sure does make my backpack heavy. I got a water bottle. Should I take a water bottle with me?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take the water bottle with me. See what else I got here. I know. Oh, here's something. How about a granola bar?
Yeah.
Would that be good to take on a walk? Yeah, in case I get hungry. And maybe that'll help keep my energy up a little bit. Let's see what else I got. Oh, I got a stapler. Should I take my stapler? But what if there's paper I need to staple together? Okay, I don't need the paper, huh? All right, so we'll leave that here too then. Okay, so let's go ahead and put all this stuff back in here. And we'll see how heavy it is then. All right, let's zip this one up. Okay, how heavy is that? Is that too heavy now? That's not too heavy, is it? It's not too bad. That's a lot lighter, isn't it? Yeah, that shouldn't be too hard to carry. You know, when Jesus says, come with me, he says, follow me. He says, come make a walk with me. All right? And sometimes we have too much stuff with us. There's some stuff that we can leave behind when we follow Jesus, when we walk with Jesus. Things like selfishness. Selfishness is saying it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. But we don't need to have that when we walk with Jesus. Or how about meanness? No, that's not good. We need to leave that behind us too, don't we? How about greediness, wanting stuff all the time? No, we can leave that behind too, can't we? And we can take things with us, though. We can take loving kindness. We can take that along with us when we walk with Jesus. Or maybe care for other people, right? Or being good to other people. Those are good things to have. Jesus says, come follow me. Come walk with me. Come be a part of my life. And we don't need all this extra stuff, do we, in our lives? No, we don't need all that extra stuff. Yeah. So we need to leave a lot of that stuff behind when we walk with Jesus and we take what we need to help other people. Okay, let's pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you invite us along to come walk with you. Help us to carry the things that we need and to leave behind all the stuff that we don't need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all go sit down.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus was on the move once again. He was traveling towards Jerusalem for the final time. In Mark's gospel, he predicts what's going to happen when he arrives in Jerusalem, that he will be arrested, that he would suffer many things, that he would be crucified, that he would die, and that on the third day he would rise again. The first of the predictions was at the beginning or at the end of chapter 8. The second one is in chapter 9. And the third one is actually the very verses that follow our gospel reading this morning. Jesus has a focus. That's where he's going. There's an immediacy about this whole section in here that Jesus has business to take care of. And he's determined. He has that goal. He is heading that way. And nothing is going to deter him. But he has a few encounters along the way. After that first prediction, he goes up to the mountain of transfiguration. And Jesus' mission, his reason for being here on this earth, is confirmed by God. This is my beloved Son, with whom
I am well pleased. Listen to him. It is confirmed by God and also confirmed then by the presence of Moses and Elijah. This is what Jesus was sent into the world to do, was to go to Jerusalem, to suffer many things, to die and to rise again for salvation for all people. And a couple of other encounters on the way, even though he has focused that he is going, that he is intent on getting to Jerusalem, he takes time out for several people. A couple of the people needed his care. They were possessed by demons, and he casts those demons out. Another occasion, he is approached, and he is involved in controversy once again with religious leaders, and it's the controversy about divorce and marriage. Today, we have another encounter. He stops for another encounter. A couple of times, some of the other encounters that he had is actually with his own disciples, that the disciples, sometimes they get it. They understand who this Jesus is and what this is all about. I mean, after all, they did leave everything behind to come follow him. They'd been following him for almost 3 years now, and they had left everything behind. And so they understood who this Jesus was, that he was the Messiah. They believed him to be the Messiah. Or as Peter answered Jesus at that first prediction, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one." Peter got it at that point. But then at other times, it seems like the disciples don't catch on, that they don't get it. And so in these encounters then with the people, between that first prediction and the last prediction, there's a couple of times that the disciples don't get it. Like when Jesus has to rebuke Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Or when the disciples are arguing about who is the greatest. Or when James and John come up to Jesus and say, "Let us sit on your right hand, on your left, in your seats of power when you come into your glory." Sometimes they seem to get it and sometimes they don't. And this encounter that we have today is similar to that as well. They kind of get it, but they don't. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on the move. And a young, rich man approaches him and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus gets into a conversation with him. "What must I do to gain eternal life?" This rich young man had everything going for him. He was wealthy. He was young. I'm sure he had his health. He was probably good looking. With that sort of wealth or it comes influence, it comes power, it comes people, prestige, it brings people looking up to you. And it also assumes that you are blessed by God. And so this young man has everything going for him. Anything that he set out to accomplish, he can accomplish. Any goals that he sets for himself, he finds a way and he works for it. He's smart, he's sharp, and he feels like he's conquered the world. But there's something missing, something gnawing at him. As he climbs this ladder to success, as he gets to that top rung, he finds that it's empty. Something's not there. And so he asks Jesus, "What must I do to earn eternal life?" He had forgotten about God. Along the way, he did not bring God along with him. He left God out. He was missing something. He had followed all the religious laws. It was like a checklist, counting them off as he accomplished those things by himself. He followed the religious laws. But yet he still forgot about God. God is not laws. God is not just punishment, but rather God is love. And that's how Jesus looked upon this man. As I was a young pastor, I remember one time, Henry Schulte, who was the bishop, our bishop at the time, was speaking to a group of pastors. And I remember him saying this, "If to make your pastorate successful, To do well as a pastor, you need to remember three things. Love the people, love the people, love the people. That is what Christ did here. He looks at this man, and even though this man was missing God, even though this man was asking the wrong question, what must I do to gain eternal life? Even though he's asking the wrong question, Jesus still looks at him with love. Jesus doesn't criticize him. He doesn't correct him. He doesn't fuss at him. But actually, he invites him to come along with him. It's not always easy to love people. Sometimes people can be awfully obnoxious. Sometimes, you know, people don't always agree with anything that I say. And so it is hard sometimes to get along with the people, but we need to remember that each and every one of us is a creature of God, that we have, each and every one of us has been created in the image of God. And so, as Jesus did, we too look at one another with love. Even when somebody is getting on your nerves, you can still look at them with love. Jesus looks at this man with love. And he says, you have something missing. As a matter of fact, you have too much stuff. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. This was shocking for that young man. He was astounded and he couldn't do it. He couldn't get rid of the baggage. He couldn't do it and he went away grieving. He could not follow Jesus because of all that other stuff that got in the way. It had dragged him down too much. He was not ready to go on that journey with Christ. The disciples too were shocked. I imagine their jaws dropped when they heard Jesus say, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me. They may have been a little bit perturbed at Jesus. They might have been a little bit angry at Jesus. You know, they saw this rich young man. He had resources. He had money. He had property. That sure would have been easier to find food with all that rather than having to ask people for food as they had been living for the last 3 years, or to glean the fields to find enough to eat for supper. They wouldn't have to worry about meals, or they could have a nice place to stay when people wouldn't invite them into their homes. At least they could go find an inn or a hotel that they could stay at for the night rather than sleeping outside under the weather. It would have been much nicer to have all those resources. It would make life much easier. And on top of that, this man was influential. He was well respected. Maybe all those religious leaders, those scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees would quit pestering Jesus. It would give Jesus some credibility then, at least, so that he would not be pestered with all these questions or with all these traps that they were trying to set for him. And this young man, this rich young man, was influential. He may have even had some friends on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. He could have had influence with them as well then too. And life would have been so much easier. And also with all these resources, that would sure help to build a group together so that we could throw Rome out of Palestine. They were probably a little bit perturbed at Jesus for saying what he did. Go and sell everything that you have and give it away. But they were even more astounded when Jesus started to talk, when he saw that they were a bit perplexed. And he was saying how hard it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples don't understand. They don't get it at this point. If a rich person can't get into heaven, who can? Because they believed that if you had things, if you had property, if you had wealth, if you had influence, that certainly you are blessed by God. Why would God give you all these things if he doesn't think you're a wonderful person? And so this rich young man surely was blessed by God because he had all this stuff going for him. And if he can't get into heaven, who is? Who has a chance? And Jesus answers them. With people, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And as Jesus explains this, Peter thinks. And there's that moment of grace, that moment of understanding, where Peter says, "But Lord, we have left everything behind. And we have been following you." I'm sure Jesus' face lights up at that point, because here Peter understands. Yes, this is the life. This is the life that Jesus called them into. And they willingly follow Jesus. And Jesus encourages them and says, yes, this is the life. In our life, we have different views of what the world is. And the worldview says, accomplish your goals. Be successful. Be wealthy. Have a healthy family. Have a good family. Have good relationships. Have lots of friends. That's the most important things in life. And those are important things for us. They help us to have a happy life. But that is not real life. Real life is only with God. And when these other things get in the way of our life with God, when our lives get so busy, tied up, wrapped up in all these other things that they get in the way, then our life is empty. We think when we fill ourselves up with all the busyness of life that we will be fulfilled. But exactly the opposite happens. We are no longer fulfilled because we do not have God in our lives. It's when we empty our lives that we become fulfilled with God. We become ready to receive God into our lives. Jesus says, empty it. Empty yourselves. Get rid of all the baggage. Get rid of all those things that are weighing you down. And come and follow me. Come and be my disciple. Jesus calls us into his service. Jesus was going towards Jerusalem. He was willing to let go of everything, even his own life, in order that people may be saved. We too empty ourselves in order to follow Jesus so that we may serve our brothers and sisters. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.